This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله وكفى وصلاة وسلاما على عباده الذين اصطفى اللهم صلِّ وسلم وأنعم وأكرم وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. We begin by thanking and praising Allah, who is most entitled to our praise and our gratitude. And we beseech Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to shower our beloved messenger with compliments and salutations. Allah has commanded us in the Quran to have taqwa of Him. Let us be conscious and aware and afraid of displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us be reminded that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the master and creator and sustainer and nourisher, that we are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He is never and was never and will never be in need of His creation. We will be brief today. We have started late due to some logistical issues, but inshallah ta'ala that will not affect our end time. So anybody who is concerned about that, be rest assured, and let us enjoy the few minutes that we have together on this blessed Jumu'ah of the blessed month of Ramadan, the month where we are expected to attain taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is a narration reported in several books of hadith, amongst them At-Tabarani, the book of At-Tabarani, in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was reported to have said, رَغِيمَ أَنْفُهُ مَنْ أَدْرَكَ رَمَضَانَ وَلَمْ يُغْفَرْ لَهُ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned a phrase, or an idiom rather, which if translated literally means, may this person's nose be rubbed in dirt. الرغام التراب رغم أنفه, meaning may this person's nose be rubbed in dirt. It's a proverb or an idiom in the Arabic language. We'll expand on it shortly. The Prophet said, رغم أنفه, who? The person who has been blessed with the opportunity to witness the month of Ramadan, and they exit the month of Ramadan and they are not forgiven. They do not attain forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This phrase in the Arabic language is a phrase that refers to loss, shaqa, al-dhul wal-khusran, humility and loss. How can you have such a golden opportunity and not leave the month of Ramadan forgiven? Not because of you or I, not because of the amazing things that we do, but because of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this month and our exposure to this mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That we do what we are supposed to do in this time so we can yearn for the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His forgiveness. Let us keep that in mind as we approach the conclusion of this blessed month, and we make sure that we do whatever it is in our capacity to end this month and exit the month of Ramadan having been forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Having said that, I wanted to spend a few moments on this idea of returning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this process and this act of ibadah that we call tawbah, often loosely translated as repentance. We are saying in this hadith that we should leave Ramadan having been forgiven. How do we attain forgiveness? We all recognize here that there are some actions and behaviors, mistakes, poor choices, that we would love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us for. What is the process by which I can have the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We refer to that as tawbah. First of all, be reminded that Allah commanded us to do tawbah. وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Allah said, do tawbah, all of you believers. Make tawbah. And linguistically, the word tawbah refers to returning back. Aada, raja'a wa anab. To return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is because when we make poor choices, and when we engage in actions and in behavior that Allah and His Messenger have forbidden, or are displeasing to Allah, what we are actually doing is we are distancing ourselves from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are clouding our heart and we are creating a gap between us and our Creator. The question is always asked, how do I become closer to Allah? How do I become closer to the Quran? How do I love the Messenger of Allah more? How do I become more motivated to do good? This isn't about knowing the do's and don'ts. This is about wanting to do them and wanting to stay away from that which we should be staying away from. How do I get that inner desire? And that is through the process of tawbah. That is how we come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The scholars have mentioned three necessary conditions for tawbah and two constraints and two parameters. Two variables and three necessary conditions. I will share them with you today insha'Allah ta'ala. The first of which is, as we have heard in the past 2 weeks in a row, al-ikhlas. Sincerity. When I have done something wrong, when I have made a mistake, I must turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and repent sincerely, seeking reward and forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some may say that's obvious. Well, imagine somebody is consuming alcohol, for example. That's a pretty obvious one. There are some clear harms. A person may be approached by their medical professional and say, listen, if you don't stop drinking alcohol, your liver is going to shut down. If you don't stop this behavior, this will happen to you in terms of our physical or our health or our wealth. And so a person may leave an action that is displeasing to Allah for a benefit that they reap in this dunya. That's not tawbah. That's a smart move, but that's not tawbah. And that is not the repentance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts, and that is not the one that is rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The leaving of sins is the one that you do because it is displeasing to Allah. And because you are seeking forgiveness and reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's ikhlas, sincerity. That our repentance, our return to Allah is sincere. That's number one. And it is a necessary condition for an accepted repentance. And number two, before we go on to number two, some scholars have mentioned an-nadam, regret. And I would like to say that this is a point of contention amongst the scholars. Is it in fact a necessary condition or not? And the majority of scholars said it is. But I want to comment on it briefly, without getting into too much detail. And that is that excessive guilt is problematic and is harmful. And if somebody constantly feels burdened by guilt and by shame of their past actions, then they need therapy. Because this is a serious mental and emotional ailment that must be treated properly. Otherwise, it will continue to be a hindrance, not only in their spiritual growth, but even in their well-being and in the health of their marriages and family relationships and in the output of their work or whatever else it is that they do. So bear in mind that when you hear our scholars talk about feeling guilty for making a mistake, the dosage of guilt is that which pushes you to admit that you have done something wrong. It's the dosage of guilt that is just enough to overcome the disease of denial. And you ask any doctor in the world, if you have a sickness and you take the right medicine, but you take too much of the dosage, it will have the opposite and adverse effect and it could kill you. Not only do you take the medicine, but you must take it in its appropriate dosage at its appropriate time. So bear in mind that the disease of denial is that which hinders and blocks us from our tawbah and from our growth and from our development as human beings and as contributors to our families and our communities. There can never be tawbah with denial. There can never be growth or improvement with denial. And those of you that are parents, you will know this. When your child disobeys you and you scold them and they give you a sorry, that's not a sincere sorry. That's not an apology that you as a parent will accept because you know that that child has not admitted that what they did was wrong. And it's only a matter of time before they might do it again when the punishment is not there or when they are no longer under your guardianship. That's not tawbah. There must be i'tiraf. And the only amount of guilt that you need is that to recognize, I've done something wrong. And there's nothing shameful about admitting wrong. Allah proves that to us in the Quran through the lives of the greatest human beings to have ever lived. The prophets and messengers admitted wrongdoing. Adam and Hawa, when they ate from that which Allah forbade them to eat from, قَالَ رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِنْ لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ Oh Allah, we have wronged ourselves. If you don't forgive us, O Allah, and have mercy upon us, we will be losers. Nuh alayhi salam, when he questioned the decree of Allah, and Allah said, فَلَا تَسْأَلَنِّي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ إني أعذك أن تكون من الجاهلين. قال رب إني أعوذ بك أن أسألك ما ليس لي به علم. Oh Allah, I seek refuge. Oh Allah, protect me from speaking and addressing and questioning your degree about that decree about that which I have no knowledge. Musa عليه السلام, when he intervened with a good intention, he intervened in a conflict resolution setting, but it ended up taking a man's life immediately. He said, قال رب إني ظلمت نفسي فاغفر لي فغفر له. He said, Oh Allah, I wronged myself, forgive me. Allah says, we forgave him. He said, قَالَ رَبِّي بِمَا أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيَّ فَلَنْ أَكُونَ ظَهِيرًا لِلْمُجْرِمِينَ Oh Allah, because of the blessings you have bestowed upon me, he made a commitment to never ever align or assist or side with criminals ever again. The Prophet ﷺ taught us this dua. اللَّهُمَّ إِنِّي ظَلَمْتُ نَفْسِي ظُلْمًا كَثِيرًا وَلَا يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ فَاغْفِرْ لِي مَغْفِرَةً مِّنْ عِنْدِكَ وَارْحَمْنِي إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ Oh Allah, I have wronged myself because of my poor choices. We are not wronging Allah by our mistakes. Allah's dominion and His mulk and His might and His power is far greater than to ever be diminished by our mistakes and our foolish behavior. We are harming ourselves. And that's why we say to Allah, ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا Oh Allah, if you do not forgive us and shower us with your mercy, we will be amongst those at loss. Yunus alayhi salam, when he found himself in layers of darkness upon darkness upon darkness, no way out. فَنَادَى فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ In those moments of darkness, he cried out, أَلَّا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ There is no one worthy to be worshipped except you, O Allah, glorified. How perfect you are. Subhanallah means, O Allah, you are perfect from mistake and fault. We are not perfect. We make mistakes. Allah does not make mistakes. We are limited. Allah is not limited. That's why we beg Allah for forgiveness and for mercy. And He said, إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ I have wronged myself. I have been of the wrongdoers. There is nothing shameful about admitting wrong. But a shame, all shame is in those who have an ego and who have pride and who have arrogance and cannot have the humility to admit they made a mistake when they made a mistake. And that applies amongst people, but even more so in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah criticizes in Surah Al-Baqarah the person, أَخَذَتْهُ الْعِزَّةُ بِالْإِثْمِ A person who does wrong and then they seek pride through that wrong. That is of the worst and most despicable characteristics. Whereas the messengers teach us that when wrong has been done, admit it. That is the path to renewal. That is the path to transformation. That is the path to growth. That is the path to mending broken relationships. That is the path to overcoming guilt. Is to recognize I made a mistake and I am deficient and I am in need of you, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So number one is to be sincere in our tawbah. To have just that minimal dosage of guilt to recognize that we did wrong and to never, ever be in a state of denial. Because denial will prevent tawbah and growth and development. And number three, al-iqla'u 'ani dhanb, to stop that sin or that wrongdoing or that inappropriate action immediately. Tawbah necessitates a sense of urgency. We cannot say tomorrow, next Ramadan, oh, when Hajj comes around, I'm going for Hajj, I'll come back like a clean baby, no worries. That's not tawbah. That's not tawbah. That's arrogance. None of us know when our expiration date will be. And it is not tawbah to say astaghfirullah and remain in the action. If the words astaghfirullah are sincere, then they must come and be accompanied with an immediate cease and desist order. Like the courts issue, cease and desist, al-an. There must be an immediate hard stop. And lastly, as we learned from Prophet Musa just a minute ago, to make a firm commitment and intention to never return back. If there is a tawbah right now, but in the future, we'll see how things go. That's not tawbah. It must be an immediate cease and desist now and a firm intention and resolve to never fall back into it in the future. And on that point, I will add one more caveat, which is if the sin or if the mistake is related to addictive behavior cycles, then there must be proper treatment. There must be proper rehab. Otherwise, it is ludicrous to think that just out of my intention, I can just stop doing whatever it is I am doing. Whether it is a substance addiction or a behavioral addiction. Allah in the Quran praised Dhul Qarnayn and repeated over and over, فَأَتْبَعَ سَبَبًا فَأَتْبَعَ سَبَبًا فَأَتْبَعَ سَبَبًا فَأَتْبَعَ سَبَبًا. He did what was necessary to accomplish the task at hand. الْأَخْذُ بِالْأَسْبَابِ. Fulfilling and exhausting all means available to you. If that is part of your tawbah, then that is necessary. Otherwise, it is a wishful thinking tawbah. It is not a sincere tawbah that comes with a sincere intention to never return back to the behavior again in the future. And lastly, if the mistake involves the rights of other people, then you must return their rights back to them to the best of your ability. To the best of your ability. And if it is not within your ability, then engage in extra good deeds. And that applies for all mistakes. إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ وَمَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَإِنَّهُ يَتُوبُ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَتَابًا. Those who do repentance and turn back to Allah with conviction and righteous actions, follow up poor choices with acts of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Repent to Allah, for He is the most forgiving, most merciful. أَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ ذَنْبٍ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. اللهم صلي وسلم وأنعم وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. The restraint or the parameter for tawbah is that it must be done at the right time. And the time for tawbah is immediately. As we said, there is urgency. But there is also a cutoff time as well. And the scholars have said, based on the ahadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that Allah will accept the sincere repentance so long as it comes before the throes of death or before the sun rises from the west. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the example of Fir'aun. As Fir'aun is in the moments of drowning, and he sees the angel of death and his soul is about to be extracted. قَالَ آمَنْتُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا الَّذِي آمَنَتْ بِهِ بَنُوا إِسْرَائِيلَ وَأَنَا مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. He said, now I believe in Allah, the one that Bani Israel believed in, and I am of those who submitted. Allah said, الآن, now you want to repent? وَقَدْ عَصَيْتَ قَبْلُ وَكُنْتَ مِنَ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. And all of those years and decades of disobedience and destruction. And the Prophet ﷺ told us that Jibreel, with his wing, placed dirt in the mouth of Fir'aun out of humility. How dare you wait until the last moment when you knew it was the truth all along? When you had asked Musa to make dua to Allah, أُدْعُ لَنَا رَبَّكَ بِمَا عَهِدَ عِنْدَكَ. He would not have asked Musa to make dua to Musa's Lord if he did not know that what Musa came with was the truth. But it was arrogance and disobedience and love of wealth and love of power and position that prevented him from repenting. And when he chose to finally repent, guess what? It was too late. as long as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given beats to our heart and breaths to our lung, and we are alive, then that is the door for tawbah that no creation can close. That is a door to Allah that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. The scholar said, أَرْجَى آيَةٍ فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ. The most hopeful verse in the Qur'an. Allah forgives all mistakes and poor choices so long as you make tawbah. So long as you admit that what was done was wrong and you ask Allah for forgiveness. How beautiful are those moments of intimate dua with Allah when no other creation, maybe even the very people in your house, do not even know you are awake. That one warm tear that rolls down your face out of sincere fear of the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is enough to wash and cleanse you of all of the mistakes that we have done. But it must be sincere. And it must come with a sincere intention and resolve to cease and desist and to never return back. That is growth. That is development. That is how we excel. That is how we become of al-muhsineen. That is how we become of al-muttaqeen. That's why Allah blessed us to be in this month yet again. So we can have an opportunity to be forgiven. رَغِمَ أَنْفُهُ مَنْ أَدْرَكَ رَمَضَانَ وَلَمْ يُغْفَرْ لَهُ. Now after hearing about all of this, the huge expanse of doors and opportunities for repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on top of that, the extra boost in the month of Ramadan, and the month comes to an end and we are not forgiven? It can't be. How can it be? وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Before we conclude, Eid Salah inshallah will be held at the Honda Center parking lot. In the parking lot of the Honda Center. And the announcement, inshallah ta'ala, for the exact day of Salatul Eid will come on the website of the masjid as well as on the social media accounts of IIOC. The takbirat will begin at 7 a.m. and Salatul Eid will begin at 7:30. And please make sure to pay and fulfill your zakatul fitr before the day of Eid, and that is $15 per person in your household. There will be a brunch on the day of Eid for specifically children and their families of children who have special needs. And that is a very valiant and beautiful effort that this masjid has put on. And you can register at IIOC.com for that special Eid al-Fitr brunch. Minaret Academy will be having a Saturday school summer camp for 6 weeks. You can find more information about that in the lobby and by contacting Minaret Academy directly. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this blessed day, in this blessed month, to shower us with His mercy, to envelop us with His forgiveness. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who we affirm with full belief and conviction, sees us and knows all of our thoughts and statements and actions. Oh Allah, you know about our situations better than we know of ourselves. Oh Allah, we beg you to forgive us. Oh Allah, we beg you to cleanse our slates and our books of records. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do not allow us to exit this month of Ramadan except that we are told you are forgiven. Oh Allah, make us of those who end this month with forgiveness and with taqwa and with piety, with closeness to you, oh Allah. Oh Allah, we yearn to be closer to you. Oh Allah, help us and assist us and inspire us to worship you and to remember you and to be grateful to you in the best of ways. Oh Allah, grant us the best of this life and the best of the hereafter, and protect us from the torment of the hellfire. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majidun wa barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majidun.